I want you to open your Bibles with me, please, in the book of John's Gospel. John's Gospel in the chapter 21. 21st chapter, the final chapter of the book of John's Gospel. Commencing to read at verse number 1. John's Gospel 21, verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. And they said unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. And when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? And they answered, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fishes. Soon then, as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus said unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. And Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. None of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, Feed my lambs. And he said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, Feed my sheep. And he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, When thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me. And we know that God himself will add his blessing to the reading of his infallible book for his name's sake and for his glory alone. Amen. I'm sure you'll agree with me that one of the amazing characters in the Word of God is Peter, Simon Peter, the son of Jonas. And as we think about the life of Simon Peter, we think of the day when the Lord Jesus, when first of all, we think of his conversion. The day the Lord Jesus Christ walked along the shore of Galilee and saw Peter with his brother, and indeed how that the Lord had indeed commissioned him and called him. First of all, remember, of course, that Andrew brought Peter to Jesus, and that was the day that his life was changed. He went back to the fishing, but Jesus said, follow me. And he said, I will make thee to become fishers of men. We think of his confession. Whenever the Lord Jesus Christ challenged the disciples and said, whom say ye that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. When I think of Peter, I think about his self-confidence. Because remember in Matthew's Gospel, it said, Peter said, though all men should be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. He was a man that was self-confident in himself. And yet we see Peter's correction. Because it said, the Lord Jesus said unto Peter, this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. We see Peter crying. Because after Peter had heard the cock crow, the Bible says he went out and Peter wept bitterly. We see him with a broken heart. We see him in tears because of his denial of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, we see Peter contending. He's standing there championing the gospel, standing there in the day of Pentecost. And through him, we see many precious souls brought to saving faith, because that day, 3,000 souls were added to the church. And thank God, the work of God went on. And the Lord added unto the church daily such as were being saved. I want us this morning to look at Peter's challenge. I want us to come to the 21st chapter of the book of John's Gospel. And I believe there is a challenge here that ought to challenge our hearts. As we have read this morning the story of how the Lord Jesus came along the seashore, the Sea of Tiberias, the Sea of Galilee. And the Lord Jesus Christ comes and meets the disciples there. You know the Lord Jesus Christ during the interval between the resurrection of Christ and the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord had instructed his disciples to go to Galilee. The Lord Jesus said, tell the disciples and Peter that I go before you into Galilee, and he would see them there. And so we find that they were down there in Galilee because the Lord Jesus had instructed them to leave the city of Jerusalem and to go to Galilee. And the Lord Jesus Christ would meet them there. It says in Matthew's Gospel 28, then said Jesus unto them, this is unto the woman, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. And so we find that they were in Galilee because the Lord Jesus Christ had told them to go there. But during the waiting time in Galilee, something happened. Remember, Peter was a fisherman. James and John were fishermen. Andrew was a fisherman. In actual fact, I think it's 7 of the 12 disciples were fishermen. Here in this passage of God's Word, chapter 21, we find that 7 disciples had made their way to the Sea of Tiberias. And whilst they were waiting there, Peter says, if you look there, in verse number 3, Peter said unto them, I go a-fishing. And so Peter decides that he's going back to the fish. Whilst he waits, he's waiting to meet the Lord Jesus there. And whilst he's waiting, he says, I go a-fishing. And you notice it said, they say unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth. And they entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. My friends, Peter went back to the fishing again. And as he goes back to the fishing, this rugged fisherman who knew all what it is, one of the most skilled fishermen there was recorded in the whole of the Scriptures. And yet we find that when he goes a-fishing, whilst he's waiting, he decides to go a-fishing. And the rest of the disciples said, we go also with thee, and they went forth. But that night they caught nothing. My friend, Peter would learn a lesson that night that I believe would change his life and would make him ready for the day of Pentecost, when he would stand up and proclaim the Word of God in the power and in the demonstration of the power of the Spirit of God. And I believe the Lord was going to teach Peter a lesson, for God was going to deal with Peter's heart. And once again he would say to him, as he said that day, so 2 years before that at the seashore,
He said, follow me. And the Lord Jesus is going to recommission Peter again to follow him into service. And he would be a fisher of men. The Bible tells us that, and they did caught nothing. I believe with all my heart that Peter had to learn a lesson, first of all. What Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 15, without me, you can do nothing. And my friend, with all Peter's experience, Peter found not, well, even with all his laboring, with all his working, with all his sweating, it came to absolutely nothing. And I tell you, without the power of the Spirit of God, without me, says Jesus, ye can do nothing. I believe that in the power of God, every one of us can be faithful witnesses. We can be soldiers of the cross. We can stand in the gap that God has called us to stand in. And God can make us those that would be winners of souls, because the Word of God says, he that winneth souls is wise. But friend, we'll never do it in the power of the flesh. It is the power of God we need. It is the unctionizing power of the Spirit of God. And here we find that Peter, standing there at the shore, stepping into the ship and going out and toiling all night. It says that night they caught nothing. You know, that happened 2 years before that in Peter's life. The Lord Jesus had called Peter to go and to follow him, and he said, I'll make you a fisher of men. Something happened in Peter's life, because even though that it says immediately he followed Jesus, the next scene we find in Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, that Peter's back at the fishing again. Friend, I tell you, it's so easy to get cold and careless. It is so easy to lose your first love. And is it not true that many people that once were on fire for God, once loved the service of Christ, once loved the work of Jesus Christ, once contended for the faith, they lose their first love and they go back, just as Peter went back. 2 years before this, Peter went back to the fishing. The Lord Jesus has said from henceforth, he says, I'll make you a fisher of men, but Peter is back in the ordinary fishing again. But you know, God steps into Peter's life way back there in Luke 5. And the Lord Jesus comes to the seashore, and as he comes to the seashore, Peter and his brothers are mending their nets. The Lord Jesus walks to Simon Peter, and he says, I want your boat, Peter. And I want you to launch out a little from the shore, because I want to preach to these men. Let me tell you, my friend, God had said to Peter, I want you to be a fisher of men, but Peter had left. Fishing for men, went back to the fish in the sea. You know what the Lord did? The Lord brought the men to Peter. The Lord brought the men to Peter, and he says, launch out a little from the shore. And Jesus took over Peter's boat, and he started to preach. And then after preaching, he said, Peter, I want you to go out into the deep. And he said, I want you to let down your nets, Peter. Peter looked at Jesus and he said, you know, Lord, we toiled all last night. He says, we caught nothing. We caught nothing. My friend, let me tell you, this is a repetition. It's not the same story, but it's a repetition in his life. Peter's heart had gone cold. He had gone away from the calling that God had originally given him. And here we find that Peter has to confess again. He says, Lord, listen, listen. We've toiled all night. We've caught nothing. We've caught nothing. It says here in John chapter 21, that night they caught nothing. They were in the right place for fish. It was the right time, because the night time was the time to catch them. And yet, friend, they caught nothing. Nothing. Because they weren't under the direction of the Master. And so we find that the Lord Jesus Christ, whenever, verse number 4, when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Of course, they didn't know it was the Lord. When the Lord Jesus met them, he didn't chastise them. He didn't rebuke them. Notice what he said, verse 5. He says, children. He says, children, have you any meat? See, the Lord knew they had caught, they'd fished all night and got nothing. He knew exactly what had happened in Peter's life. But the Lord Jesus Christ didn't rebuke him. He said, listen, children. He spoke to the seven of those disciples and he said, children, have you no meat? Have you got nothing for all your labor? And the Lord Jesus takes over that situation, friend. Let's be honest. Thank God these disciples didn't try to cover anything up. They just said to him, no. They were honest. Then let me tell you this. If you want to go through with God and you want God to take over your life, you want God to revolution and change your life and take away the coldness of your heart, listen, be honest with God. Children, have you any meat? And the answer was no. Then Peter didn't try to make an excuse. He didn't try to minimize their situation. They had been toiling all night. They caught nothing. And whenever they were asked a simple question, children, have ye any meat? The answer was no. Is your heart right with God this morning, friend? Listen, is the answer no? Is the answer no? Are you in the place where God wants you to be, my friend? Are you sold out for Christ? Do you love the Lord Jesus with all your heart? Listen, as these questions come to your heart, will you answer them? Or do you try to misrepresent them? Do you try to excuse your coldness? Do you try to excuse your carelessness? And your answer is, Lord, somebody else did this. Somebody else was the barrier. Listen, children, have you any meat? No. And I believe that whenever they were honest before God, that God was going to work and God was going to step into their life. In verse 6 it says, and he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship. And he says, you cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. Ye shall find. Listen, the fish were there. He didn't say, I want you to go way out there. I want you to go further. No, he said, just cast the net down. On the right side. And he says, you shall find. And they cast the net down. And they weren't able to draw the multitude of fishes. In actual fact, when they did, there was 153 fish that were brought to land. But the Lord was only starting the lessons for Peter. Let me tell you, my friends, the Lord Jesus Christ, whenever they came to the land, it says this, verse 9, as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there. I'm sure whenever Peter saw that fire of coals, he remembered something. Remember the last fire of coals that I was standing at? You see, a short time before that, Peter was standing at a fire of coals. But he's standing among the enemies of the Lord. And Peter realizes, because John said to him, listen, it is the Lord. And Peter realizes that this is the Lord. And he gets out in and he throws himself out into the sea. And he makes his way to go to Jesus. And when he comes to the land, my, he's confronted with a fire of coals. The first thing he sees. And I believe the Lord's teaching Peter a lesson. Peter, remember. Remember the fire of coals you stood a little while ago at. Recorded in John 18:18. Whenever you denied me. You denied me thrice. You know, it's good to remember, friend. Let's be honest. It's good to remember the past, because if you and I just face up to the past, then maybe before God we have something to confess today. Is there something in our hearts that we need to confess today as we remember the past? Peter stood at the fire of coals. Friend, let me tell you, the Lord so loves Peter here. That although they had fished all night, here's the experienced fishermen. And they had fished all night. They had caught nothing. But whenever they came to the shore, there was fish already on the fire coals. The Lord had already caught fish. And the Lord knew that these men who had toiled all night, friend, they were hungry. And there's a fire of coals, but on the fire of coals, the Lord had sizzling there the fish. And they also had bread. Because the Lord loved them. You know, we can say whenever the Lord Jesus stood at the grave of Lazarus and Jesus wept, it says, "See how he loved them," they said. "See how he loved them." Then as I see those men out there back of the fishing, back of the old life, and the Lord Jesus is standing on the shore and they're toiling all night and they catch nothing. Jesus stands at the shore. The Lord Jesus Christ is the fish already on the pan. He loves them. Maybe there's someone here this morning and you remember when you loved the Lord and when you served him, but friend, listen, something happened in your life just like Peter when he denied the Lord. And maybe the old devil has said, you know, there's no use you coming back because God doesn't love you and God doesn't want you and God doesn't care. Let me tell you, the devil's a liar. The Lord loves you still. The Lord loves you still, and the Lord is going to meet Peter at the very point of his need. And at the fire, the Master cares for Peter. At the fire, the Lord gives him fellowship. This is not the first time since the resurrection that the Lord Jesus has met Peter, because I believe that the Lord has already met Peter privately. You study the Scriptures. The Lord Jesus has already had a private meeting with Peter since the time he wept bitterly and after denying him. The Lord Jesus has already met Peter. But listen, friend, Peter had made a public denial. Now Peter's going to make a public confession. And three times Peter denied the Lord until he denied him with oaths and curses. And whenever he denied him and the cock crew, the Lord Jesus looked at Peter and his heart was breaking. The Savior was grieved. Three times he denied the Master. Three times publicly he's going to have to confess him. And the third time it says, Peter was grieved. And the word grieved is he was pained. Peter was hurting. And I want you to notice something here. This confrontation with Peter wasn't by chance. It was by sovereign arrangement. And after they had dined, just go quickly with me at verse 15. When they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" The Lord Jesus doesn't skirt around the problem here. He goes right to the heart of the problem because the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. He says to Peter, "Peter, tell me, do you love me?" The last time Peter stood in the public, friend, he was denying him. And Jesus says, "Peter, do you love me?" Then can I ask you a question this morning? Do you love the Lord? Do you really love Him? You see, our love for Christ must be preeminent. Because if you look there three times, the Lord Jesus Christ, He says, "Do you love me?" But notice what it says in verse 15. Jesus said unto Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" More than these. And I believe it can mean different things here. Because he said, "Listen, Simon Peter, do you love me more than these?" And I believe the Lord could have been pointing to Peter's companions. You see, Peter said, "I go a-fishing." They say unto him, "We also go with thee." Peter was the one that was leading here. He was the one that led them back to the fish. And why, here's these people that Peter's influencing, these men that he's influencing. And Jesus said, "Peter, do you love me more than you love those men?" Do you love me more than you love your friends? Do you love me more than you love these colleagues of yours, these fishing companions of yours? Do you love me more than these? Friend, before God, can I ask a question this morning just simply concerning that? Do you love the Lord more than you love your friends? Do you love the Lord more than you love your family? The Word of God says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto thee. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 37 says, he that loveth father and mother more than me, listen to this, is not worthy of me. You say, but listen, it's natural. It's natural to love your father. It's natural to love your mother. You should honor your father and mother. The Word of God says, he that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. He says, do you love me more than these? Friend, in this service this morning, we haven't had choices like that to make. But let me tell you, there's many of God's children have to make that choice concerning their family. And they've been challenged concerning their family. And they said, listen, if you want to walk this way with Jesus Christ, if you want to walk this way of following Jesus and God's salvation, then there's no place for you in this home. And let me tell you, there's been young women and young men that had to make choices. They were told to leave their family or else give up Jesus. We think of the martyrs. And the martyrs were told to sign the letter of recantation, to recant, and to turn away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And Rome desired them to deny their faith in Jesus Christ or to be put into the fires, friend. The martyrs were willing to stand amidst the burning fires, and the faggots were lit, and they were burned to death rather than surrender or deny the Lord. It's very easy for you to say, oh yes, I love the Lord. Let me ask you, friend, do you love the Lord first and foremost beyond anyone? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Christ first, friend. All these things shall be added unto thee. Or the Lord Jesus could cry, whenever He said to me, Peter, do you love me more than these? Just before He did that, the Lord Jesus says, Peter, would you bring the fish to the shore? And Peter went down and he got his companions. And they drew that big net of fish, friend. And there was 153. The Lord Jesus stood there and Peter counted them out. And as he counted them out, those big fish. Oh, what a catch. It says, and for all there were so many, yet was the net not broken, friend. And there they were, and they were lying there on the beach, along the seashore there, of the Sea of Galilee. And as Peter counted them out, 153 big fish. And that was his occupation. Boys, he loved fishing. He went back to it enough, didn't he? He had gone back to the fishing. And he loved the fishing, friend. And Jesus turned to Peter and he said, listen, Peter, tell me, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than you love these fish? Because, friend, let me tell you, there are people today, and they're so caught up with their boats and their nets and their fish, the material things of this life that affect each and every one of us that's in this congregation this morning. And the Lord Jesus would put His finger upon some of these things, and the Lord Jesus would say to, do you love me more than you love these? These fish. If the Lord was to put His hand upon your life and say, listen, I want you to follow me. And you're in comfort today. You're in a comfortable job. And you're in a comfortable position, friend. And the Lord says, I want you to leave it, friend. Let me ask you this. Do you love that job, that position, that comfort more than you love Christ? Would you be willing to go? Would you be willing to give it? If God was to call you to the foreign field, if God was to call you to a mud hut away from that big house, friend, let me, do you love me, Jesus, more than you love these sins? Friend, it's easy to say, oh yes, I would, until it comes to the moment of surrender. It is so easy to sing, all to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. But if the Lord puts His hand upon it, listen, a young man came to Jesus one day, and he fell down at the feet of Jesus, how much he respected Him. And he fell down at the feet of Jesus, and he said, good Master, he said, what must I do that I may inherit eternal life? And the young man said, listen, all of these things. And Jesus said, what saith in the law? And the young man mentioned all of these things. And the young man turned to Christ, and he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. And the Lord Jesus didn't say, you're lying. But the Lord knew that he was rich. The Lord knew there was a God in his life that had taken over his life. And he said to him, he said, young man, sell all that you have and give to the poor. And take up your cross and you follow me. What the young man said? He said nothing. But he turned and he walked away. And it says the Lord Jesus loved him. But the young man was grieved and he walked away because he loved riches. The Lord Jesus pointed to the fish. That was Peter's old life. And he said, Peter, do you love me more than you love these fish? You've gone back and you've gone back to the fishing. It seems to be the drawing power of the fish. You've gone back. Do you love me more than you love these fish? And then he said to him, Peter, do you love me more than these? Which could mean, do you love me more than these men love me? Do you remember what Peter said? Listen, though everyone should deny you, yet not I. Though everyone should be offended, Lord, you can count on me. If everyone else leaves you, if everyone else is offended because you, Lord, you can count upon me, yet will not I. Peter, do you love me more than these men love me? And I believe that by asking that question, the Lord was putting the finger upon Peter's self-confidence. Because the Lord wanted to humble him in the sight, in his sight. He said, lovest thou me? Verse number 16, he saith unto him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Oh yes, he said, feed my sheep. He said, feed my lambs. But listen, he said, lovest thou me? There's the emphasis, is in loving the Lord. Peter, do you love me? Are you really in love with me? You see, the prerequisite for service, brethren and sisters, this morning is this. It's loving Christ. Loving Jesus. Do you love the Lord? I believe with all my heart that that is the greatest qualification for every child of God. And says, your love for Christ. It says, the love of Christ constraineth us. Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, it says, thou hast left thy first love. Time's away this morning. Let me ask you a question. Do you love the Lord? One last thing before I finish, perhaps, can I just simply say to you? You'll notice that whenever Jesus asked the question, he said, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? And you see the word love there. The question that Jesus asked him was the love, and the word in the Greek is agape. But when Peter answered the Lord, he didn't answer the word the same as what Jesus asked. Notice what it says here. Go to verse number 15. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. You say those are the same. No, they're not, friend. There's two different words for love. The first one was what Jesus was saying. Peter, do you love me? That's the word agape. It's the strongest, it's the highest possible form of love. It is a selfless love that seeks the greatest good beyond personal cost. Sacrificial love. It's a divine love. And he said, do you love me? Is that the way you love me, Peter? And Peter says, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. But it's not agape. It is filial. It's a different word. Peter's reply was this, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. But that word filial is the love of a friend for friend. It was the fondness for another. It wasn't a sacrificial love. It wasn't a selfless love. The Lord Jesus asked him a second time. He said, Peter, but do you love me? Do you love me? And Peter said, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. But the two words are still different. Still different. And I believe the Lord's humbling Peter here. And yet the Lord loves because he was divine, has a divine love for his people. But I want you to notice before we close, verse 17. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And it says, Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, you know all things. Lord, you know my heart. You know my heart. But what I want to say is this. The third time the Lord asked Peter the question, the Lord changed his word for love. Because the third time he asked the question, it's the word that Peter had replied. And the two words that were spoken, Peter, do you love me? And the answer which Peter gave was the same word. Lord, you know all things. You know my heart. You know, the Lord didn't ask Peter, are you eloquent, Peter? The Lord didn't ask Peter, are you learned, Peter? The Lord didn't ask Peter, are you wise? He said, Peter, do you love me? For he was looking for love. But Peter knew his heart. And Peter was honest before the Lord. He said, Lord, I love you. I love you. The Lord says, feed my lambs. He says, feed my sheep. Do you love the Lord today? We sing the hymn, My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. For thee all the pleasures of sin I resign.
My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou, if ever I loved thee, my Jesus does now. But here, before I finish, let me say this to you. Listen, Peter said, Lord, thou knowest all things. Listen, listen carefully. The Lord knows exactly what's going on in your heart today. The Lord knows whether you love Him. The Lord knows whether your heart's in tune with Christ. The Lord knows whether you're in love with Jesus and in fellowship with His work and His people. The Lord knows exactly your heart. You see, the Lord was searching out Peter's heart. Peter had publicly denied the Lord. Now three times he has to confess his love for the Lord. But Jesus knew his heart. And Peter knew before God that he could hide nothing from Christ. Thou knowest all things. May God help us today to love Him. And if we love Him, we'll serve Him. No matter the cost. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless Your word this morning. And I pray that You'll search out each and every one of our hearts as this gathering draws to a close. Father, we have to honestly say, Lord, that of ourselves we couldn't love You. But to thank You, Lord, we can say, I love Him because He first loved me. We have been drawn with the cords of love. We thank Thee that Thy love is an everlasting love. And Lord, You said You so loved us that You gave, for Thy love is a sacrificial love, Your only begotten Son. Help us to love You, Lord. Oh God, may our love for Thee grow greater. May our love for the things of the world grow dim. Help us to serve Thee with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name.